Why, hello once again, everybody, and welcome to another episode of NBA DFS Today. I am your host, Keith Cork. This is brought to you by Sports Ethos. And we're going to be talking about an MLK Day slate. A couple of them, actually. I've got two slates here for you guys, which is a new one. Sometimes we do that, but not too often. So this is a bit of a special episode. Obviously, hopefully, you know, happy MLK Day to you guys. If you have it off, hopefully you do. And hopefully you're settled in for a long day of basketball, which starts at, I believe, 12 o'clock. 12 p.m. my time, Central Time. So that'd be 1 p.m. Eastern or 10 a.m. Pacific. But yeah, we're going to dive into this. I've got two slates here that I'm interested in and found plays on. The first one being the afternoon slate, which starts at 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern. And then the main slate, of course, which starts at 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern. And happy to chat with you guys about all of that. I actually really like the way this is broken out because it's going to be so spread out that we can, you know, it's like March Madness almost, where you can kind of catch the end of one game and then hop to the other. I do prefer to watch the full games if I can, and I probably will watch at least a couple games, you know, start to finish. But being able to kind of just tune in and see where everything's at and get caught up and see the last 20 minutes or so of a ball game and then doing that repeatedly for the next, you know, hour and a half or whatever. That's just, that's like heaven to me. So I'm looking forward to it. I hope you guys are too. We've got some really good insights for you. If you guys don't already have the DFS pass, it's $5 a month. It's at sportsethos.com. You can also get the Ethos 360, which includes every single thing, which includes our, you know, NBA fantasy hoops stuff, which we do the layup line every day, which gives you guys kind of a preview of what's going on. People you can stream in from those games. We also give you pickups of the night. People that may have gained value because of a injury, or they just have a better, you know, spot in the rotation. And we're just noticing that. So you're on the front lines there with those two pieces alone. And obviously we've also got some weekly articles with the Working the Wire and the Week Ahead from Derek as well. So there's quite a bit of stuff over there. All part of that Ethos 360 package. SportsEthos.com is where you get it. But let's go ahead and jump into this DFS stuffy stuffs. So yeah, let's talk about that afternoon game and or the afternoon slate, which is a three-game slate. I might have said two games before. I apologize. It's a three-game slate, which is nice. But all three of these games I have at least some level of interest in. There's an earlier slate that I just don't have interest in at all. So I'm skipping it. I think it's totally fine. This is a three-game slate. This is right in my wheelhouse. I like, you know, 3 to 5-game slates. I get two of them today. This MLK Day is the best, man. It's like Christmas morning for old Keith here. But first, we got Detroit and Washington. Let's talk about that on this afternoon slate here. 5.5-point favorites are the Washington Wizards in this game, which is, I mean, this is funny. I mean, how can you favor anybody in this game? I'm not betting that because, like, just can you tell me how this game's going to go? Because I really have no idea. 241.5 is the game total. Yeah, I just think, you know, I think the Wizards have kind of realized that it's taking time. And these teams, it's interesting because these teams just traded each other, right? And I think the Wizards have really done the right thing here and realized that, hey, we need to just go ahead and tank. And so they traded away a couple of their veterans, Danilo Gallinari and Muscala, a couple of vets that were just sitting on the end of their bench for Marvin Bagley and Isaiah Livers. Now, of course, those players will not be playing in this game. We've already gotten confirmation of that. None of them were in the rotation, so there's really no effect here. But I think, you know, it does signal for me that the Wizards are ready to embrace that tank. So I've got, you know, a lot of interest on the Wizards side. And first and foremost, I mean, we got to talk about Danny Avdija, who just had almost a triple-double, just fell one assist shy, 54.5 DK points. Of course, that's a ceiling game. You know, we can't expect that here, but it is against Detroit. He should have a very good game. If we're looking at kind of a floor, you know, we're looking at like 25 DK points. And I'll take that, man. 6,800, pretty fair price to, you know, have that peace of mind that I'm going to get at least 25 there with the upside of a 50 burger, which is always nice, of course, from a guy that only costs 6.8. So, you know, I think you'll see his salary continue to rise. I think the Wizards are going to continue to lean into using him, utilizing him. on the offensive side of the basketball, which is good news for him, you know, in fantasy or daily fantasy. I don't know if it's good news. It's probably good news for the Wizards too, because they'll lose basketball games, and that's what they're trying to do right now. So I'm all about that. Obviously, I'm gonna just I listened to the announcer say his name. I can't get myself there too. I'm just gonna call him Bilal. Can I just call him Bilal? Bilal is the other one here that I'm looking at 5,000 on the Wizards. And, you know, I think this is a kid that, you know, it's a little bit of a riskier play because he does have a very low floor. He hasn't been aggressive on the offensive end. When he gets in, sometimes he just disappears and take a whole lot of shots. So, 5,000 is kind of a hefty price, in my opinion, to pay for this guy. If he was something like 4,500 to, you know, 4,000, in that price range there, then it'd be more of a lock for me. But, with that price being at 5,000, I mean, you know, get 6X, we need 30. DK points, and that's exactly what he got in the last one, which was a good game for him. But the thing is, you know, like I said, the Wizards are kind of moving in that direction of just kind of embracing their youth. So I don't mind going to him a little bit here. I think he's still a very decent play, especially in this matchup against Detroit, who is absolutely dreadful. But I do think, you know, those are the guys I have the main interest in on the Washington side. But I think, you know, if you're looking up and down, I mean, I probably wouldn't roster Kuzma or Poole just because I just don't feel like those guys. I mean, you can always roster Poole. Poole's only 6,500. He got 26 minutes in the last game, scored 30 DK points. You know, that's kind of a floor there too. So, you know, I don't hate the play of Jordan Poole. I just don't think there's much of an incentive to play him. So that kind of scares me off of him. I just think it's just too much risk for me at that price tag. So 6,500 for him, I guess I can go either way is what I'm trying to say. Not super into Gafford this one. He is only 6,000 though, so I understand if you want to go there as well. Corey Kispert's another guy, 4,600. That's just the price is not matching up with what the kind of ceiling production is going to be for me. So that's kind of it, you know, where I'm feeling in everybody. I don't think any of those guys is a bad play in a bubble per se. I just feel like you know, when we're talking about other guys who can get into those spots and everything like that, that's kind of where I land. At Detroit, obviously we've still got no Cade Cunningham. And, you know, Killian Hayes at 5,500 seems like he's in the smash spot to me. I know I've, you know, touted him a few slates already, and it's been mixed results. I mean, that's Killian Hayes. That's how it is. But there is that ceiling game within him that we haven't seen just yet where his shot is falling. He's getting confidence, and he's, you know, getting steals and assists left and right. I don't think he's had a game quite like that yet this season. We'll have to go back all the way to November 30th, where he had 28 minutes, 23 points. Looks like four assists, three rebounds, a block, and a steal. So 37.75 DK points in that one. So, you know, it's just that's the kind of thing that, you know, he can explode and produce. That was against the Knicks, by the way. So, you know, I don't think there's a guarantee that he does that, but there's always that ceiling there. And the floor really, despite him not being a very good shooter, it is actually pretty relatively safe, honestly, at that price tag. So I like me some Killian Hayes here. I've got him in my lineup. Jaden Ivey supposedly going to get more usage funneled his way, which, I don't understand why this took so long to figure out. But he is 6,900, and he's basically scored 40 DK points through three straight games. Of course, they're playing the Washington Wizards here, so Jordan Poole is going to be across the way. Tyus Jones, nobody that's really going to, you know, be imposing on the defensive end. Guards can score against the Wizards, so I do like him as well. Didn't end up with him in my lineup right now, but that could change. Just depends on, you know, which way I go with it. I'm sure there'll be a few things I search between now and then, which is why you need the DFS pass so you can chat with me about it at sportsethos.com. Go get it. I think Bojan Bogdanovic, I think just the ownership piece of it, people are just going to be all over him. So I'm just fading him here. I'd rather go with an Ivy at 200 more. But that's just me, maybe. I know he is, questionable as well. So that's, you know, interesting as well. If he doesn't play, then obviously that gives the Ivy a boost. That gives Killian Hayes a boost. It gives everybody kind of a boost there. But Kevin Knox, 4,800, but also probably get a boost as well. I'm kind of curious to see what they do behind Jalen Duren at the center position. Is James Wiseman going to play the backup minutes? If he is, then 4,000, he does definitely intrigue me in this matchup as well. But since I don't know, they could very well just keep him out of the rotation and play, you know, Kevin Knox at center for all I know. Who knows what they're going to do? But it's tough to say. You know, they did just trade Marvin Bagley, but Bagley wasn't in the rotation. So just tough for me to say yes or no if he's going to play. If I could guarantee he was going to play, you know, 15 to 20 minutes, I think at 4,000, he's a pretty good play as well. So, hey, if we get news like that between now and then, you can go ahead and slip him into, you know, the maybe bracket there. New York Knicks in Orlando. This is probably the game I have the least interest in on this this particular slate. But there's still some pretty good plays in here. And, you know, obviously it's a three-game slate, so you do want to try to attack each of these games. You probably can find a piece of each that is appealing. Obviously, Jalen Brunson questionable, so if he doesn't play, you know, Randall gets a significant boost there. I would think he'd be pretty popular in cash games, and, you know, I would have no problem locking him in myself. So that's always something to consider there. And if he doesn't go, we did see McBride, you know, sign to the starting lineup and have a really big game. He is now 5,300, though, which is a $2,000 jump. So I'm probably not on that bandwagon, even if he, even if Brunson's out, just so you guys know. So that's not super into McBride there. But Dante DiVincenzo at 5,700, he saw 33 minutes in the last one, guys. And now, I mean, I didn't buy it. I've had a hard time buying it with Dante over the course of his career. He's never been that dude that'll play big minutes and have big usage. But 14 shot attempts in 33 minutes. You know, they did win against the Memphis Grizzlies. It was kind of a funky game, but that's back-to-back games of 30-plus minutes for Dante DiVincenzo, the big ragu, which is definitely interesting to say the least. And 5,700 is easy, a cheap salary. So I love me some Dante DiVincenzo here. I think he's probably a guy I'm going to have locked into all of my lineups there. So that's how strongly I feel about him. Orlando side of the ball, less interested in really anything over going on over here. Paolo Banchero, I think at 9,200 is a nice guy to land on here on a three-game slate, you know, just based on what his team needs out of him to stay competitive in this one. So if you're scripting this as, hey, the Magic, despite having no Franz Wagner, are going to keep this close or maybe even win this game, that's going to require a big game from Paolo Banchero. So I don't mind going to him there as well. Anyone else on this Orlando team that I'm really into, though? No, not really. If we get confirmation Wendell Carter Jr. is out, Goga Patadze still is a nice little kind of low-end center. But I'm not running out of my way to get him in my lineups. The ceiling hasn't really been there because the minutes have been still held in check. And that's really it, man. I mean, Cole Anthony can always explode 5,900, but we haven't seen it. He's been pretty terrible recently. So, but you know, you never know if you're going to be super contrarian. Maybe that's a guy that gets kind of low ownership. San Antonio and Atlanta. And I'm going to give you guys, I don't know if I gave this, but for the last one, 7 points in favor of the Knicks, by the way, 221.5 for that game total. Spurs at Atlanta, we have 245.5 for the game total. And that is, you know, and again, Detroit, Washington, 241.5, Spurs, Hawks, 245.5, and you've got Magic, Knicks, which is 221.5. So, you know, it's not out of this, it's not crazy to me to say, hey, maybe I snag one guy in that Orlando-New York game. And then I stack up guys in these other two games. I think that's probably the way most people are going to go. And it makes total sense to me. 7.5 point favorites the Hawks are in this one, according to DraftKings. And, yeah, I mean, I like a whole heck of a lot in this game. Let's start on the Spurs side of the ball. You know, Victor Wembanyama, 9,100, up against the Hawks that are just dismal right now, have no confidence, have no faith in their, you know, other teammates. I think he can absolutely take advantage of that. I like him here a whole heck of a lot. 9,100 is his salary. He scored basically 50 DK points in four straight games. And, you know, that's consistency. And I know he's on a bit of a minutes limit, but it doesn't matter. I mean, if he's going to still produce those big lines in just 20 minutes or so. Just imagine, you know, maybe there's a random game where, you know, Popovich is like, oh, you know what, we're just going to play him. Just going to play our guy the max minutes here because this is a winnable game or because he's playing well, because he's a chance to make history. You roll him out there for that because, man, that's just insane upside if that does happen. You know, anyone else on the Spurs side that I kind of feel confident in? That's the question here. And no, I really don't. I think, you know, there's some interesting guys at the end of the bunch, I think, with Shimpagny and Branham. Jetty Osmond, I'm still onto him as well. He's had some really good games recently. So, you know, this is a game where if you're going to stack up some cheap value on the Spurs side, that's where I would kind of look because there are guys in that, you know, 3,900 to 4,500 range that you can just stack, and they're going to get some minutes there, and they're going to produce some, you know, lines. On a three-game slate, you know, you can have some more openness to punt plays. What's a punt play? A punt play is just basically sliding a guy in there that's going to save you salary to go get another guy you actually really want, but he's not necessarily going to sink you, right? He's not going to have 0 points. He's going to have like 15 DK points or whatever, pretty much guaranteed. That's what I view Ajedi Osman as, so I do have him here in my lineup right now. Malachi Branham probably a little bit more, and Shimpagny probably a little bit more risk, especially with those guys, because they could just be pulled right away. They are young players that are not really that good. They're just playing right now because the Spurs need them to and don't really care about winning basketball games. So Osman would be the guy I would kind of highlight out of those three that I would trust on the Spurs bench there. And the Atlanta side, we do have, it looks like Trae Young, DeJounte Murray healthy for this one, so that's good. No designations here on these guys just yet. Jalen Johnson's a guy we've struck out on in a three state game, so I'm not going there. I think, you know, Young or Murray would be fine. I've got no problem with that. The Hawks definitely do need a win here, and this could be a nice bounce back game for them. But the question is, do they have that heart? Do they have that drive? Are they actually interested in turning that corner and winning games, or are they just kind of deflated right now? Knowing that the Hawks are trying to, you know, trade guys and shake up the lineup and figure out what the heck they're going to do, because it's been such a disappointment this season. So, Sadiq Bey, 5,800. I see you can land on him. Obviously, Bogey Bogdanovic, a 6,200. I've named all of the players. I don't think Capella, not really digging that one, or Okongwu. I think there's just too much of a split there in what they do. One or the other guy could absolutely go off. It's just, don't think it's going to come against the Spurs personally. So, but I think, yeah, any of these other guys, you know, I mentioned, they're basically the top, you know, six guys on the Hawks are all definitely, five guys, sorry, five guys in the Hawks. Bay, Bogdanovic, Jalen Johnson, DeJounte Murray, Trae Young, totally fine to land on any of those guys. I don't feel particularly one way or another about them, but given the game atmosphere and the way that the Hawks need a win, I think I can definitely understand if you're going to play any of those guys. So that's our early slate. Let's move on to the main slate here, and I'll try to get a little move along and see where we have about 17 minutes. Yeah, we'll try to get this wrapped up here in the next 15 or so. So we'll move, not lightning quick, but a little bit more rapidly. Chicago Bulls at the Cleveland Cavaliers. My Chicago Bulls at the Cleveland Cavaliers. We've got a 3.5-point spread in favor of the Cavs. 221 is the game total. And again, the Bulls are just underpriced. I don't think, of course, it's the Cavs, so it's not as good of a matchup as the last one, but we still have, you know, Kobe White at 7,200. We've got Zach LaVine at 7,300. We've got DeMar DeRozan at 7,400. We've got Vucevic at 7,500. Probably not going to go Vuce here against Jared Allen. Jared Allen has been playing very well this season in general. Of the guys that, are on the Bulls, I don't think I even mentioned them, but the guy I like the most is Zach LaVine at 7,300. He has the most proof. Like, look, he wants out, supposedly. He requested a trade. They tried to make that happen for him. Doesn't have the value around the league that we had hoped he would have. And he's got something to play for. He's been playing very well in the last three or four games, just, you know, with that realization that he has to kind of recuperate his value if he wants to get anywhere. Or if he just wants to be a part of the team again, a part of a winning culture again, which the Bulls have been winning basketball games pretty consistently here recently. So, you know, I think LaVine at 7,300 is the guy that really jumps out to me. He should be priced somewhere like in the 8,000s. He is back at full health, full strength, playing full allotment of minutes, which is the most important thing. Only 8 shot attempts in the last game, so that was a bit of a letdown. Before that, though, 49 DK points and 61.25 DK points. And this guy does have the ability to go off. Like, you know, you can rag on him all you want, and yeah, the defense is atrocious at times, and the off-ball awareness on defense specifically is very bad. But on the offensive side, he is a three-level scorer, absolutely. I've said that. Go back to any of the podcasts I've done the last 3 or 4 years. I've said that every single time. And, he's at an elite level doing that, which, you know, you can say that about, I would say, maybe 20, 30 people, players in the league. So, you know, three-level scorer, I just think it's crazy that his price tag is this low. So I'm going to load up on some Zach LaVine. I'm going to probably lock him into every lineup I have. because I really do want to see him succeed. I think he has the most incentive to succeed. On the Cleveland side of the ball, I am less ambitious about or excited about any of these guys. This actually might be a full skip. I know Strus is questionable. So, you know, if he can't go, maybe a guy like Sam Merrill or Caris LeVert steps up a little bit. Those are the two guys I was kind of looking at the hardest at here. But ultimately, I think I'm a pass. You know, the Bulls have been playing really good defense, so not to toot their horn or anything like that. I just think everyone on the Cavs have been priced up appropriately now that, you know, everyone's been out for quite a while. And Donovan Mitchell's going to get the Caruso treatment. I'm telling you right now, it's going to be a thing of beauty. Okay, Boston at Toronto. This is a really interesting game from a basketball standpoint. From a DFS standpoint, though, well, we do have Jaylen Brown questionable. So on the Boston side, if he can't go, obviously, we want some Tatum on our lineups at 9,700. That's an easy click for us, especially in cash games. You know, another guy I would kind of look at is Peyton Pritchard, who had a big one not that long ago in some garbage time. He does have some skill, man, and I do like his upside over a guy like a Hauser. I just think that he has the ability to produce, you know, more varied stats, assists, threes, points. So, not looking too hard at any of the rest of these guys, just because it is like up against the Raptors. And with that, you know, with it being against the Raptors, they are a very tough defensive team. And so it's tough to pick out some guys. So, yeah. Let's move on, though. Let's just move on to Miami at Brooklyn. And this is another game I probably, I have some interest. I've got some thoughts about this one. On paper though, Miami, Brooklyn, two defensive minded teams, might be a tough one. So we're going to get some, ownership, what's the word here for here? Ownership opportunities here. We're going to have some guys own that other, you know, teams might not necessarily have on their squads, because people will fade this because of the, defensive-minded nature of the two teams involved. 217.5 is that game total, just to give you an idea of what I'm talking about here. Two-point favorites are the Nets over the Heat currently. So so that's interesting. The Miami Heat. So let me say this. Jimmy Butler is traveling with the team from I think it was Indiana. Let me just double check real quick, or maybe it was Charlotte. Okay, sorry, Charlotte. They're traveling from they were in Miami. So they were traveling from Miami up to Brooklyn, and Jimmy's doing that at this time of year where there's snow and cold and freezing temperatures. Do we think he's doing that for his health? Do we honestly think he's going to make that trip and not suit up for this game against the Brooklyn Nets? Yeah, I think Jimmy Butler is going to play. Absolutely. He's only 8,100. And, you know, he may be facing a minutes limit. And, you know, I just don't care. I think, you know, a fresh Jimmy Butler is going to be a difficult Jimmy Butler to contain. So I do like me some Jimmy Butler here. There's no Jaime Jacquez Jr. The way that the Heat practice and push their bodies in practices, you know, it's not, there's no parallel in the NBA. So if he's been doing that with his team, he is capable still of playing, you know, 30 plus minutes. And that's fine. If he only gets 30 minutes, I still think he produces a very nice fantasy line here for us against the Brooklyn Nets. And without Jaime, I think, you know, they really do need him in there because Jaime was doing an incredible job playing as one of the, you know, primary scorers for this team. So look for Jimmy Butler to step in and play. Look for him to have a very decent game. Not super into these other things. I think, you know, Tyler Hero could be another guy, obviously, that could step into some more shooting without Jaime Jacquez Jr. available. Duncan Robinson, another guy that could step up. Caleb Martin, another guy that could potentially step up in that absence. But Jimmy's the one guy that I have locked in, and I think he's a very solid play. On the Brooklyn side, I'm not excited about any of the top guys. I fade all the top guys. That's Cam Thomas, Cam Johnson, Spencer Dinwiddie, Nick Claxton, Mikal Bridges. You know, maybe they do have a big game against the Miami Heat. That's doubtful. Just not in love with what any of them are doing right now. And instead, I'm going to look at Lonnie Walker IV, who found himself into, 25 minutes in the last game? Yeah, 25 minutes. Ended up scoring 20 points. Of course, he shot the ball incredibly well, 32.25 DK points on that. 3 rebounds, 2 assists, a block, a steal. But Lonnie Walker has shown the ability to put up really nice fantasy lines in the past. And it looks like he's going to do that again here with Brooklyn. And Brooklyn really does need somebody like him that's a spark that can, you know, get in there and create their shot, create some offense, to really stick into these games, because right now that's their biggest problem. They just, without Cam Thomas going bananas, they just are not finding a way to score the basketball that well. And Cam Thomas is an interesting guy as well. He's only 5,800 here, but he did have 26 actual points in that last game against the Cavs. But, you know, I really think it just boils down to Lonnie Walker being the guy I'm really only looking at. I don't trust any Cam Thomas to go off like that again, even if somebody's out here and he gets extended, you know, look and things like that. So, yeah, so Lonnie Walker for me is the guy. Let's move on to Indiana at Utah. And Indiana at Utah, we have 7.5-point favorites in favor of the Jazz. The Jazz are 7.5-point favorites, and the game total here is 248. So it's a pretty attractive game total there. And this is a game, you know, I think you want to stack up these guys as well. This game, you know, maybe the Chicago-Cleveland game. I don't know. Tough. That's tough, because that's probably going to be pretty low scoring. I really think it just kind of boils down to this game. Indiana-Utah, this is the only game that is really like one of those games where it's like, okay, I can stack, you know, four guys here and feel pretty confident about it because of this game total. So, you know, take that into account. I think that's interesting. I think both sides of this ball, you can play virtually anybody. Let's just go down the list. In Indiana, we've got, of course, Miles Turner. We've got TJ McConnell, Ben Mathurin, Benedict Mathurin, excuse me, Bruce Brown, Andrew Nembhard, Buddy Hield, Dealon Smith. yeah, I think, you know, any of those guys, Lonnie Neesmith's not playing, any of those guys, and that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys I just named could be in your lineup there. I don't think I would go to Toppin. That's kind of where the cutoff is for me. But there is one guy below that cutoff that I want to highlight that's actually the guy I'm most psyched about, and that is Isaiah Jackson. And Isaiah Jackson has been, of course, if you listen to the show the last, you know, 2 or 3 years, he's been on our radar for a couple of years at least. But the minutes are there, 17, 18, 20 in the last 3 games. Those are his minutes. They're on a climb a little bit. But what we're most impressed about is his activity, where he's getting, you know, 4 to 9 shots. It looks like 12 points a game in that stretch, which is pretty awesome. Grabbing, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 boards, getting us like an assist or two, getting us some blocks, of course, getting us some steals. He had a game in there where he had 3 steals and or 3 blocks and 4 steals, which was absolutely incredible in, you know, just 18 minutes. And he gets Utah here. And, you know, look, he's going to be playing against Walker Kessler. He's going to be playing against Kelly Olynyk. You know, this guy could absolutely do some damage, being a big body down low that, you know, the Jazz just aren't able to contain. I mean, these big bodies really do give them trouble. So I do expect some nice things from Miles Turner in this one as well. And he'd be the main pacer I'd be looking at outside of Isaiah Jackson if I wanted to spend up here on this game. I think that's the guy I would definitely go to. But no, Isaiah Jackson, I think, you know, given the fact that people might overlook him, they might be a little scared because his minutes are down. It doesn't matter because he's a huge permanent guy. As long as he's getting that, you know, 17, 18, 19, 20 minutes off the bench, I think he's absolutely fine. On the Utah side, we got Lauri Markkanen. Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead and fire up Lauri. We've got Jordan Clarkson, 6,700. Yeah, absolutely. Go fire up Jordan Clarkson. Fantastic. We've got Colin Sexton, 6,400. Yep, go fire him up. John Collins, this is where I kind of draw the line. I think this is, we've seen this, and this is an interesting, you know, kind of angle to go with, and it's where I'm going with to play this team here. But we've seen this Jazz team. He only played 14 minutes against Toronto. He played 34 against the Lakers. He played 24 against the Denver Nuggets. He's played 27 against the Milwaukee Bucks, 28 against the Sixers. I mean, his minutes have been fluctuating a bit, and it's all based on the matchup here. I don't like this matchup for John Collins. I don't. You know, I think it's going to be difficult. As long as TJ McConnell's playing in the game, and I guess if Nembhard's having a good game, you know, if you're getting the pick and roll, I just don't see him able to stop Miles Turner at the rim. or at Isaiah Jackson at the rim. So I do think instead of John Collins here, we end up getting a little bit more Walker Kessler. And Walker Kessler's only 5,000, and he's got a massive upside, of course. So I do like me some Walker Kessler here. I think it's a risky play, of course. He only had 14 minutes in the last game, 15 minutes in against Denver, and a couple of games before that. And people are going to be scared off of him, really, really scared. But I don't want to miss the game where he ends up playing 25 to 30 minutes, and he ends up just absolutely destroying the slate because he can put up, you know, 40 DK points in that span. I only need to go back to the 18th of December to see a 42.5 DK point day in 32 minutes, 45.5 in 26 minutes on the 14th of December, 40.5 in 31 minutes. So it's really all about, you know, is he going to play the minutes or isn't he? The Indiana, you know, this Indiana team, they play pretty big. They've got Geno Smith out there for minutes now. They've got, you know, Miles Turner out there. They've got Isaiah Jackson coming in off the bench for pretty big minutes. So, you know, it's a pretty big team. I do feel like Kessler is better equipped to play against this team, especially against the backup big, I would say, you know, and Isaiah Jackson. So I do like to stack those two. That's what I'm going with. Just to kind of not, let's not beat around the bush. That's what I'm going is, you know, I like to stack those guys. If they're going to play Isaiah Jackson 20 minutes, I'm pretty sure they're going to play Walker Kessler the full 20 against him as well. And that's going to be a nice matchup for both of those guys. So so I do like that that angle as well. But yeah, I mean, you know, Keyonte George, a little risky there, but he had a pretty good game in the last one. You know, Chris Dunn, 4,800. Not my favorite play in the world here, but has the ability to put up defensive stats. And then that's kind of where I, you know, cut it off. I don't want to go with Kelly Olynyk or anyone below that, but I think any of those guys are really on your radar to fill out your roster, absolutely. And like I said, you can fill out, you know, you can stack three or four of those guys pretty comfortably, maybe even five if you'd like. So moving on to the OKC and Lakers game. I mean, I really can't cover this one. It's going to be really brief because we've got so many people questionable. Anthony Davis is actually questionable when he's normally listed as probable, so there is something to monitor there. LeBron James looks like he's going to be in, but Shai Gilgeous-Alexander on the other side is questionable as well. So we really just don't know. I do like LeBron James in this scenario where he had a, you know, some rest there to get right, and he has a team. His team needs a win, so you know, feels like he's going to play some pretty big minutes against an up and coming team that he's going to look to squash and keep down and you know, try to, you know, say, hey, we still got it. So I do like LeBron James here quite a bit. Other than that, I mean, it's really tough to say. If Shai doesn't go, obviously we're looking at guys like Isaiah Joe. He's been very quiet recently, but he does have the ability to pop. Kaysen Wallace probably gets the start. He's only 3,900, so he'd be another guy to consider as well. But that's only if we get the news that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is going to be out. But yeah, I would be all over those guys for sure if we do get that news in time. So. But that's going to do it for us, guys. That is it. That's my key insights for two different slates, eight games in total, three-game earlier slate called the afternoon slate, and the five-game main slate. If you guys want to follow me on Twitter, well, I do drop some basketball knowledge. It's @EthosKeith. Also follow our show @EthosDFS. That's our show account. And SportsEthos.com. That's where you go to pick up all the goodies. But hey, until next time, everybody, go get that money.